It goes and goes and goes and goes. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, I'm telling you. I used to hear that when I was a little boy. Like, them folk crazy. But, man, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And so I just thank the Lord for just giving me a mind to serve him, to want to serve him, and to want to do things different. I just want to, as Brittany was saying, this is my heart's desire. You know, Lord, not just the new year, the next day, the next month. I want to do something different, Lord. I want to be different. I don't want to take this old me into this new year. You know we're going to be faced with different problems, bigger problems, worse situations. Things are going to get worse. But, Lord, I don't want to go in with my same old way. I want to go in as a new creature, as you called me. You know, he said, you're a new creature in Christ. You know, behold, all things, you know, old things are passed away. All things become new. So I want to take a new Al into the new year, a new mind into the new year, a new praise into the new year. I want new faith into the new year. I want new holiness that we don't talk about. I want that too into this new year. I want righteousness. You know, I want the new righteousness. I want the new thing. He said he gonna do a new thing. I want that new thing. And so I just thank God for giving me a mind to want the new thing. And I just don't want to be taking this doubt and all of this stuff that would trouble everybody over into this new year. Well, we heard that last year. You know, we heard that last year, how bad it was, and how then they keep saying it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But, man, that's some good news in this world still. That's the gospel out here. We got the gospel. The Bible said the gospel is the good news. And we're supposed to have some good news to spread over all of this trouble. Like Brother Hearns, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, spread some jelly over that peanut butter. Over all that bad stuff, spread something good over it. You know, I'm looking for God to sweep over the city. You know where it's bad at. Sweep over in Israel. Sweep over, Lord, where it's bad in these places. God want to sweep over these places. And so I just thank the Lord for just giving me a blessed year last year, even though it was tough for everybody, but it was blessed for me. You know, in my bad times, it was blessed. I was blessed because he called me blessed. And so I'm looking for an even more blessed year of this year. I want things to change in my life. And, you know, you want to change, but the change has to take place in you first. You know, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life, not your life. You know, I believe if I change, my family will change. I believe if I change, people on my job will change. God is looking for somebody to change, you know, but we don't want to change. And the world is looking better than us sometimes. We was talking about that this morning, Pastor. And then Brother Hearns come in and said the same thing. I'm like, well, I just kept quiet. I said, boy, man, Pastor just got talking about this. You know, God is trying to tell us something, though. He's trying to tell us something. You know, God wants us to be who he called us to be. You know, a lot of times you may not want to be something. You don't want to do it. You know, a lot of things I don't want to do. But I said, Lord, I got to start wanting to do some things. You know, I got to want to do it. You know, because when you don't want to do nothing, you just do it grudgingly. You ain't doing it in love. Paul said, look, even though I speak with tongues of angel men, you know, I can move a mountain. You know, he said, I can do all these things. I give myself to be burned. I give all my possessions. But if I don't have charity, I ain't doing it love. It don't mean nothing. And so I want to do this, Lord. You know, I want to serve you. I want to do something different, Lord. You know, so I want to come to church. You know, I want to see what God wants to do. I do. I want it now. You know, at the time I had to. Mom and dad had to threaten me. I'm going to call around her and see if you made it to choir rehearsal. Walking alongside street kicking rocks. Man, ain't nobody else around here going to choir rehearsal, why we always got to be the ones, you know? Feel like you always the one. Like you always the only one getting picked on. Yeah. But you know what? I thank God for mama and daddy. I thank them for just being stern, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It makes you steadfast. It makes you unmovable, always abounding. So we have, I have friends. They still talk about it today. Well, Mr. Walter wasn't no joke. We wish we had somebody like him in our life. Yes, they wish they had a Walter in their life. I said, I don't know if y'all can handle Walter. Y'all might want a Rose. You know, mama wasn't too bad, but daddy wasn't no joke. He didn't play, boy. And I thank God for my mom and my dad. I know it's not Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I thank God for them, I tell you, because without them, boy, we'd be a mess. You know, he stayed on us, and God is staying on us. He ain't leaving you alone. God ain't gonna, he ain't gonna quit bothering you. He ain't. That's my prayer, Pastor. Lord, keep on troubling me. Keep bothering me. God ain't gonna, he ain't gonna leave you alone. You know, you might want to do this and you come, you hear that, and you're like, man, I ain't come to hear that. You know, God ain't gonna stop trouble. I don't care where you go. You can go to a whole nother church, whole nother congregation. God gonna speak to you. You ain't gonna get away. You can run as far as you can run and fast as you can run. You ain't gonna outrun God. When you get there, he gonna be there like this. I'm here too. I'm waiting for you. I knew you was coming here. I knew you was gonna be here. You get up and run to another church. I'm here too. They may not be worshiping me right, but I'm looking for you. I'm waiting for you. You're going to get this right. You're going to get it right. And man, I see it in the word. God, Jesus, just his love is just unfailing. So I just thank the Lord again this morning for being who he is in my life and thanking him for bringing me such a mighty long way. When I look back over my life and I see where he has brought me from, and I ain't got to look too far back. I know some folk can look, they have to look way back because they've been good. You know, I can look back just a week. I can look back just a week and see where he brought me from. And I say, Lord, thank you. You know, you didn't leave me in that mess. A lot of folks might say, Lord, gonna bless me in my mess. Lord, you didn't leave me in that mess. You brought me out of that mess. That's what he come to do, to bring you out of your mess. Not bless you in it. And when he bless you in your mess, you'll be a bigger mess. Tell God to bless you. Get you out of what you in. Because you in something that you ain't supposed to be in. Somebody doing something they ain't supposed to be doing. And they know it right well. They know it. Man, I just love him this morning. He's good. I'm going to be reading out the book of Luke 22. And I ain't going to be up here alone. Thank God for my wife coming in. Told she was going to come past. So she comes, Al, I ain't coming tomorrow. I'm telling on you. I said, oh, okay then. I said, why you ain't going? I don't know. I ain't. I said, oh, she coming. She coming. She kind of messed me up because I had a song I wanted to sing. And I implemented her in it. So I said, I'll wait. And here she is. And I done forgot the song. That's why I said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A mind is a bad thing to waste. You better keep your mind. Pastor always say, stop piecing your mind out. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Keep it. Maybe that's what I did. But I done pieced it all out. I'm asking God to bring it back. Bring it back to me, Lord. Said the Holy Ghost will bring all things back to my remembrance. And I need it. So I just love him this morning. He's good. I'm going to try to encourage you this morning. As always, I try to encourage God's people, you know, because you just don't know who's going through. You know, we often come here and that's good. You come here. Keep coming here. You know, why you're going through. Don't stay at home going through. come on to church. Like the we used to say long time ago, you need to be in church. Come on in here. We'll get you up. If we can get you up at this altar, we'll pray you out of it. We'll slap that oil on you. It's going to come out, but you just got to come on to church. So come on to church. No matter how you feel, you know, come on. We're waiting for you. And so don't stay at home. So I just, I love the Lord, you know, and trying to help people has been my thing. I have this brother, I'm going to get to the word. This brother, called everybody my brother. This coworker that I've been training him for the last week or so. And so he, been telling me all his business, you know, just laying it on me. And him and I, we came in. He came in right after me. And so we kind of knew each other's name. We didn't know anything about one another. And so he came in. He just looking so down and pitiful. And I often try to be friendly to people. I said, you bring your lunch? He said, no, I ain't bringing no lunch. So I asked him again next day, bring your lunch? He said, no. I said, man, I got you. What you want? He said, no, Al. I said, no, man, come on, let me do this now, you know. So I befriended him, you know. Got to be a friend first. Got to gain that trust. So he started telling me what's been going on in his life. You know, financially, it's always, most of the time, finance. And so I listen. I'm thinking, Lord, what do I tell this man? He said, just tell him it's going to be all right. And so for the whole week, he's been telling me, he'll come tell me something every week, every day. And I said, man, God going to work this thing out for you. God going to do this for you, man. I said, he said, just watch and see. You know, because, you know, I'm trying to work too, but I'm trying to lift him up. You know, I said, God don't do it, man. Just kept encouraging. So I get a phone call. And my supervisor said, hey, Al, how's Matt doing? I said, he's doing good. I said, it's like I'm not even training him. I said, you know, he came from construction, maintenance. He knows a computer. I said, he's doing really well. And he said, oh, good. Because you let him know, tell him to call me because I'm going to let him work some overtime Saturday and Sunday. And I said, really? He said, yeah. Reason why I said really, because when you ain't qualified, you don't have the privilege of getting no overtime. You got to wait until you qualify, and he don't qualify until February. And so I said, well, praise God, man. I said, that's going to be some good news for him. And so I told him about, he said, what? Really, Al? I said, yeah. I said, you're going to work? You said, I'm working both of them. I said, man, didn't I tell you God going to work this thing out, right? He said, yeah. He's doing like them baseball players. He was so happy, so elated, and it's just his whole countenance just changed. And I was so happy for him. He said, thanks, Al. Man, thank you so much. I said, I ain't do nothing. We thank the Lord. I said, didn't we say God was going to work this thing out? God going to work this thing out. He going to work it out for you. All you got to do is just believe God. We got to be the light. Come on. We got to spread this good news. Yes. We got to tell the dying world that there is life. Yes. We got to tell them. God wants to use you, us. He wants to use us. And all you got to do is open up your mouth. I said, be a Peter. Peter opened up his mouth all the time. They say he stuck his foot in his mouth. I said, well, I'm sticking my feet in my mouth sometimes too. But I'm believing God. And God, I mean, it just lit him up. And I said, Lord, that's what it's all about. Strengthening the brother. You know, and I call them all brothers. That's why I be up and saying brother. Because when we union, and we call each other brothers, you know, and that we brothers in the union, but outside that union, it's like we're not brothers. So every time, I don't care who it is, I know they can be the biggest sinner, cussing. I mean, standing on my truck, though, they just be cussing, you know. And I say, yeah, brother. And I just brother them. I brother them till they be like, then they start saying, yeah, you know, God is good. I I brother them, boy. I be like, yeah, brother, 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 all of them, brother. Ones that don't even want to speak to me. I be like, brother, brother, brother. You know, we brothers. Yeah, we brothers. I said, we brothers from the same mother and the same father. What you talking about, Al? I said, we come from the mother earth and God the Father. We all brothers. I don't know what y'all talking about. So y'all my brother, you know, whether you want to be or not, you know. So I just brother them till they be like, yeah, you know, God is good. So yes, he is good. Cause I'm getting tired of hearing all that. I said, Lord, what do I say to these folk all this cussing, you know? And I mean, they be just, oh, mother, father and butchers and all kind of stuff, man. I'd be like, I'd be laying on the truck like, yeah. Well, brother, God wants you to strengthen your brother. That's what God is calling us for. He wants you to strengthen that brother out there that don't know where his next meal gonna come from. Don't know if he gonna have enough money to pay his mortgage. He wants you to strengthen somebody. And so I'm gonna try to encourage you this morning. Y'all bear with me. You know, God is good. I'm just happy. You know, I'm been asking God to, been pleading with God. Begging God. Y'all see, y'all don't beg. Somebody said, you ain't got to beg God. I'm begging. I said, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. And I just feel God, he just restoring the joy of my salvation. I got something to be glad about. I do. That was a time that people used to say, well, I'm glad about Jesus. I'm glad about Jesus this morning. I'm just glad that God is restoring the joy down in my salvation. That I'm saved. That I ain't got to be walking around like Pastor, looking like I done been sucking on lemons. Like the whole world is giving, the whole world might be against me, but God is for me. He's restoring the joy of my salvation. Why don't you ask God to restore the joy of your salvation so you can have some joy? People see you coming. They don't want to see you coming. When they see you come, they should be running to you. Because he got something to say. She got something good to tell me. And it ain't about what we saw on TV. People look for you to come to them. They look for me to come. Where were you at, Al? I'm like, I take off a lot, but I'm like, where were you? We was looking for you. I said, for what? We just be missing you. Let them just miss you. You know, I don't do nothing great. I just be me. Be you. God wants to restore the joy of your salvation. And that ain't my message. I just gonna preach Luke 22 a little bit. I'm just trying to do what God tell me to do. I'm trying to stretch this thing out. Cause I don't know who gonna come in that front door. I'm just trying to stretch this thing out. You know, God is good. He's been good to me. Oh, I wish I can remember that song. Lord help me. Y'all gonna hear that song. Sure is. But, Father, I thank and praise you for restoring the joy of my salvation. I thank you, Lord God, for just lifting me up, Lord. I thank you for bringing me into a new year, God. I thank you for bringing me into a new year with a new mind, God, a new heart, God. Oh, God, new ways, Lord God. My ways, I want them to be like your ways, God. My thoughts, God, I want them to be like your thoughts, God. I thank you for this word, Lord God. I praise your name, God, for just being so good and true and faithful to us, Lord. You are so great now. God, I ask that you would use me just for a moment, Lord God, that I can encourage your people, Lord. I ask that, Father, in Jesus' name, give God some praise in his house. Give him some glory because he's worthy of it. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we need some more men in here because I know men can be loud and rowdy. Y'all women, y'all look dainty. You know? You'd be like, got their nails done fast. They can't clap because they might stab themselves with them long nails. Take them off. Put them aside for a while. Put them in your purse till you get off. You know they leaves press on. He is good. He is good. And I just thank him. Luke 22, first verse. I'm going to skip quite a bit. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the twelve. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to him to give him money. And he promised, look at this, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Here it is. They trying to get rid of the one, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the one who is, the one to come. They trying to get rid of him. The Bible says that Judas promised and saw opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Why he want to do it in the presence of the multitude? You know, he want to do it undercover. You know, that's just like the devil. He doing everything he going to do in the dark. You know, he ain't bad enough to do it in the light. He want to hide in the dark. You know, most folk do they dirt in the dark behind your back. And so, and Judas didn't want to do his dirt in the open. You know, he was walking with the light. He was walking with Jesus all them years, but still walking in the dark. How do you do that, Pastor? What's that all about? It's some folk that's walking with Jesus, but they still walking in the dark. That is a shame. And that's bad. So he was walking with the light, but the light wasn't in him. You know, people are walking every day, but they're not walking in the light. They have no fellowship with the light, you know. Come in here and it's so bright. Most churches are bright. Some churches, are they so bright? Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I let him do that. I'm sorry. But people are coming in churches, and these churches are just lit up. Some churches, you got to put on some shades. They be so bright. Guys coming in with them dark shades don't be so bright. They don't like the light. You know, they walking in the dark. They love the dark, you know. They sitting there with them dark shades on in church. They won't take them off because, you know, you can read some folk by their eyes. You look at them, they covering up. They don't look. Some women may be in there with some short skirts and legs showing. I remember the time Pastor used to teach. That was a time Pastor. You couldn't come to church without no stockings on. You had to cover up. Don't be showing your legs, Pastor. Tawana, where your stockings at? Oh, knee highs, pantyhose, or something. Guys, cut them up and put them on their head. But, you know, Pastor, you got to put them things on. Don't you come in here uncovered. Because you got folks sitting and you got these guys sitting here, they looking like they the church. They ain't the church. Come with them dark glasses on, sitting in them big old churches. They sitting there with their wives and they just wishing they was with Joanne and Susan and, you know, just sitting there having a heyday. You know, some folk, they love the dark. And Judas, he sought to do evil to our God in the absence of the multitude. And folk don't want to do nothing in the presence or in the light of the people. They wait till the church service is over, go outside and wait like they waiting on their wives, and they be out there just waiting on to get themselves in trouble. And so John said, you know, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It cannot overtake the light. It can't put it out. It cannot extinguish the light. I don't care how much darkness come in. You just have a little bit of light. you're going to see that light. Just a little bit of light. I don't care what color light is. Little blue light be in our bedroom, be pitch black. Tawana let that, she got some shades. But now it be dark. But this thing that sit on our dresser up there by that TV, little bitty light. Boy, it gets on your nerve. You can't go to sleep. It just lights up. I mean, it looks like it just be beaming at you. And I said, man, I have to cover my head up because maybe I go and get a towel now and I put a towel on top of the thing. I want it dark when I'm trying to sleep. But a little bit of light. A little bit of leaven. The good leaven. Because they got some good leaven in the Bible and they had some bad leaven. But you have some good leaven, a little bit of leaven, leavens the whole lump. It leavened my whole bedroom. Like, Lord, I love the light, but I'm trying to go to sleep. Can't go to sleep with that little bit of light. Oh, it just cannot, darkness cannot overpower light. It's just impossible. It just ain't going to happen. So Judas, he couldn't understand this man Jesus. He couldn't have. Because he didn't have no light in him. So the devil tried to overtake the light by tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And then he tried to extinguish the light by betraying Jesus. He tried to put the light completely out. He was trying his best, the devil trying his best to get rid of light. If he get rid of his light, we have no light in us, John said. So we thank God for this light. So darkness can't comprehend the light. I don't care what the world says or the devil do. Light is more powerful than darkness. It is always going to be more powerful than darkness. And that's why we are the light of the world. God wants to use the light. He came down. He sent the light down to light. He said, all men. And we are the light of the world. A city, the Bible says, set on a hill that just cannot be hid. Why can't this light be hid? Why can't I put this light out? Boy, I thought I had Al last year. I thought I had him last week. I thought I was putting his lights out. The devil trying to put your lights out. And I ain't talking about your eyes. He's just trying to take your salvation. He's trying to steal your joy. He trying to steal what you was raised up on, holiness and righteousness, which you don't hear no more. Don't nobody teach that no more. You know, to live holy. Don't nobody, look, you got to get out of here talking about that kind of stuff. You know, we got to pay this church off. You know, leave them folk alone. I heard somebody say, you can't come in, you know, don't come in my church, you know, chastising my people, you know, telling my people what they need to do. Somebody need to do it. Because apparently you ain't doing it. Somebody need, God gonna raise somebody up to go in and tell the truth. You know, well, don't invite me back no more. These ain't none of your people. You don't belong to yourself. We know that God gave you shepherds over church, but don't be telling nobody what God done gave them to preach. I don't think that's right. I could be wrong, but find it in the scriptures and show it to me. Where you can't speak what God told you to speak. Even it is, if you are stepping on some people's toes, you need to step on their whole feet, some of them. You need to make some of them rise up and say, yes, I'll do it, Lord. Not their toes. Some people can curl their toes up. But you need to step all on them sometimes. God want to step all over you so you can get right. God trying to get us right. And so, we are the city. You know, who else God going to use that's set up on a hill that can't be hid? God want to use the light. You know, he can't use darkness. He got to use light to get the darkness out. You know, ain't no need of the devil bothering the dark. You know, he's running around here roaring. He said, the Bible says, as if though he can devour those who he trying to devour. He ain't trying to devour the ones that he already got. I ain't looking for you. I already got you locked up. I ain't looking for you. You outside your mind. I ain't looking for you. You ain't got no joy. I'm looking for that one that's got joy. I'm looking for that one that's free. That one said, oh, even though he might be going through, I might be touching him a little bit, but he's still talking about what Jesus can do. He's still talking about what he's going to do for Jesus. That's the one I'm looking for. That's who the devil's looking for. He's trying to put your lights out. So the devil can't put your light out. He can dim it a little bit. He can have you down. But God gonna come up, give you a word, and put that light back in you. And so he says, then came the unleavened, verse 7. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, and when the Passover was killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? Where are we going? Prepare this, you know, Passover, this lamb, and all of this stuff. Where are we going, Jesus? And he said unto them, behold, when you enter into a city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enter in. And he shall say, and you shall say unto him, unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Here it is, God. Jesus tells them, look, it's time for the Passover, time for us to, you know, keep this feast of unleavened. Say, well, Lord, where do you want us to go and do this thing? And God, and all, Lord, already prepared something for him. He already got it ready for him. See, a lot of folk already just looking, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, what's going to happen, Lord? You know, after all of this praying, and, you know, we come in here on Wednesday praying now, it feels good too. Boy, it felt really good. But, Lord, what are we going to do after this? God already got something prepared for you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expectation. When God says he got something prepared for you, just believe God got something prepared for you. Because you ain't coming into it today. You ain't came into it today. You ain't coming into it tomorrow. You don't know when you're going to come into it. Know that if God said something, that God is going to make good on his word. If God spoke it, then it shall be, even as he said. If you believe in God, that God told you that you healed, you just believe God. Because ain't nobody else going to tell you. Ain't nobody else too much going to touch and agree with you no more. And they ain't touching agree with healing and deliver. They ain't looking for the crazy things no more. All this sermons, you crazy faith. You got to have some crazy. You got to sacrifice your Isaacs and all of that. Man, I remember all of that stuff, and I'm holding fast to it. I stepped back from my Isaacs. I sure did. I said, Lord, here they are. They belong to you. You deal with them, because apparently I ain't getting through. But I know one way I can get through. The Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. All you got to do is just start praying and say, God, I done adapted this from pastor. There it is. There they is, Lord. They belong to you. That's what he told me in the first. He said, that's my business. That ain't none of your business. You get in the Bible, you get with me and start seeking me for yourself. You got to get right. You get it right first and your kids going to get it right. You get it right first, then your neighbor's going to get right. You get it right first, then your mom and your daddy going to get it. You got to get it right first, because God called you. He is calling us to walk in the light. And so when God told them, the Lord told them, go. You're going to meet somebody. And I'm going to, he's going to have a pitcher of water, because it's going to be a bunch of folk. This got to have a pitcher of water in his hand. Make sure you remember what he say. And the room is going to be furnished. You ain't going to lack nothing. Everything going to be there for you. Just remember when God say he going to do something for you, you ain't going to lack nothing. Everything is already furnished for you. All you got to do is just keep on walking in the light. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and break it, just like we do, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supping, saying, this cup is the new testament, my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. You got folk walking with you that's calling you friend, buddy, my partner, my BFF. You know, we best friends forever until when? Until when? You know, he said, behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Isn't that a horrible thing to be sitting at a table full of brothers, servants, so-called friends, but only one person knew who was going to betray him, but everybody else wants to, Lord, is it I? Is it me? You know, but some folks sit there and say, Lord, I know it ain't going to be none of me. Mm-mm. I ain't going to betray you, Lord. I know it ain't. You know, I'm sure at that time, well, we know that Jesus talking about the one that's going to sell him out for the 30 pieces of silver. But it was somebody else and some other folk there too that's going to betray him. You know, it was somebody else there too that was going to betray Jesus. You know, all of them. All of them, you know, when the folk came in that garden, you know, he didn't even have to look behind because he already knew what was going to happen. They were gone. In fact, one of the writers said, let these go. Don't even let them go. It's me you're looking for, not them. And so let's jump down to 31 so I can get y'all out of here. And so he said that there was 21 that somebody's sitting at the table with him that's going to betray him. But we know that oftentimes all of us have betrayed him at some time or another. All have sinned. There is not a just man up on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And he said, now, he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, mind you, I think in one of the other gospels, during this time that Jesus washed their feet, might have been before the supper, you know, I was reading. He washed their feet and he washed all their feet. He washed Judas' feet. But when he got to Peter, Peter said, you going to wash my feet, Lord? And Jesus, I can just see Jesus down saying, yeah, Peter. You know, but he said, no, Lord, you ain't washing my feet. Jesus said, well, Peter, that's fine. You know, Jesus, the Lord is amazing. He didn't say, oh, Peter, look, you got to let me wash your feet because, look, he didn't tell him nothing. He said, well, okay, that's fine, Peter. That's all right, Al. If I don't wash your feet, you say you'll have no part with me. Jesus don't want it. Peter didn't want to hear that. Folk don't want to hear Jesus say, I ain't got no dealings with you no more. Since I can't wash your feet, I ain't got no dealings with you. Peter said, oh, Lord. He said, not only my feet, my hands, my head, wash me up, Lord, what all over me. You know, I can't have you look at you, the words of life. I can't have you departing from me. You know, and Jesus had to explain to me, said, later on, you're going to understand what this means. And all Jesus was trying to explain, to show them that, look, he said, which one is, the servant is greater among you? He said, I'm your master. I'm great among you, but I'm showing you how to serve. Since I'm your master, your leader, then I'm going to bow myself down, humble myself, and wash your feet. He said, because you need not to be clean. I've already cleansed you. You already saved, you know, but when you kind of understand when they come in, they washing each other's feet. You out there in the world, you drag all kind of stuff in on your feet. So Jesus said, I got to wash your feet. We got to wash each other's feet. You know, we got to get this residue that we bring in. We bring in all kind of stuff into the house, into the camp. And Jesus said, we got to get that off. You already saved. You know, he said, you've been cleansed by the blood. You know, you saved. You sure enough saved. But then he said, Satan desired to sift you as we need. You know, he wasn't only talking about Peter. He said, Simon, Simon. But why just Peter if he was just talking about Peter? He's talking about all of them. He's talking about you too. Satan desired to get you, desired to get you, desired to get you. Not just Peter. He wants you all. He's trying to put your light out. He's trying to put the light of the world out. If he can put all these little lights out, he think he got Jesus. Uh-uh. You ain't going to be able to do it, devil. You ain't got that kind of power. You ain't got that kind of authority. Uh-uh. You can't do it. So he said, look, he desired to sift you as wheat. You know, I don't know if you guys understand about sifting. I know you got sifters at home for flowers, but it don't leave nothing in there if it ain't nothing in the flour. But when they sift that wheat, they had chaff with it. I think the wheat was in the chaff. That's what it was. And they had this little thing and they throw it up. And the wind would take the chaff away. But the devil called himself shaking up the church, shaking up Peter, throwing it up in the earth. Think the wind gonna blow the wheat away. The wheat got too much weight in it. The wheat got too much praise in it. The wheat got too much love in it. It ain't weak. It ain't gonna be blown away. You're gonna last through your storms. So he can throw you up. I mean, everything gonna be shooken. He gonna shake everything, but he ain't gonna be able to move you. So he was shaking. They want to shake Peter and see what Peter going to blow away and see if he's going to fall out the basket. Ain't none of us falling out the basket. I don't care what the devil do. I don't care how much he shake you. You ain't going to blow out because you ain't no chaff. You weak. You the child of God. You the children of the Most High. And so he said he desired to sift you as wheat. Sift means to separate. And that's all the devil comes to do each and every day of our life, to sift and separate us from God. Separate you how? Separate you with tests, separate you with trials, separate you with sickness, separate you with loss, separate you with life. He tried to separate you with parties and all. He tried to separate you any kind of way that he can separate you. He don't care how he gets you. And we looking for him to come in the worst way. Paul said, look, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, naked, pearl, or sword? He said, none of these things. Shall life or even death separate us? Nothing should separate you from the love of God. I don't care what the devil brings. I don't care how much he sifts you, how much he desires to sift you. But Jesus said this. He said, look, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. God, the Lord has prayed for you. He prayed for Peter and those disciples, that their faith fail not. The Lord has prayed for you before the foundation of the world. If he knew you before the foundation of the world, he prayed for you. And this is what he says in John. He says, John 17 and 20, Jesus also prayed for the church. He said, I pray for them, his disciples, but I prayed not for the world. And that's something in that. He prayed for them. He said, I prayed not for the world. We talk about that later on, later day. I prayed not for the world. I got to pray for the church. I got to pray for the church, but I pray not for the world, for them, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. But John 17 and 20 says, neither pray I for these alone. He didn't only pray for you alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. So Jesus prayed for you a long time ago. And the Bible says, just as the adversaries, the devil standing at the throne, you know, accusing the brother daily, Jesus, they're making intercession for you right now. You know, he's there right now. Somebody said, well, he did that a long time ago. Well, the Bible says he's there making intercession for us. You know, why did he do it a long time ago? Because they said they thought, well, he died. He did that before he died. You forgot the other part, man. He rose again. Jesus is alive. What is y'all talking about? He's there talking to the Father right now. You know, he sees what you are headed to or what's coming your way today. So he's making intercession for you. He said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Here it is. When Jesus pray, he don't pray like we pray. Bible says he prayed until drops of blood come out. Jesus sure enough prayed. And when Jesus pray, you can put your foot on. I don't care what the devil do, what he bring, how he try to get you separated from the Lord. If Jesus prayed for you, then you're going to be found standing. It don't look like it, don't feel like it sometimes that you're going to be found standing when you believe in, especially when you believe in God. It just seems like you by yourself when you believe in God tell you something. It ain't told nobody else. It ain't been confirmed. You're looking for that confirmation. I was looking for confirmations many times when God told me to this, that. Well, Lord, I got to sit and be still and know that you God, and I got to get that confirmation. I got to hear a confirmed word. What is more confirming than me telling you? Huh? What if I don't want to tell the prophet? What if I don't want to tell your brother? What if I don't want to tell your sister? What if I don't want to tell your wife? What you going to have to do? You just going to have faith and believe God. And that's what Peter and his disciples had to do. He said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And he says, oh man, he didn't say, if you get converted. Because I pray for you, Jesus, the Messiah, the holiest of holy, the Son of the living God, pray for you. But if you get converted after I pray, when you get converted, he ain't thinking about no if. God knows that you're going to be converted. Peter knew. He didn't know these, but Jesus knew. He said, when you are converted, go and strengthen your brother. Because he didn't know that he was going to deny the Lord. Lord said, well, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to die. I'm going to do this. Hey, boy. And we said, Lord, I'm going to do this till the day I die. I say it all the time. Lord, I'm going to serve you till the day. Ain't nothing going to separate me. All kind of stuff come, but sometimes it make you just want to just sit out for a while. I said, Lord, I remember that I said ain't nothing going to separate me from you. Nothing, Lord. And so when Peter told Jesus, Lord, I'm going to die with you. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be with you through thick and thin, Lord. He said, Peter, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me not one time, not two times, but you're going to deny me three times. But still, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Because you got a work to do. You got a work to do. He's prayed for us because we got a work to do in this new year. We got something to do this year. And we done gave God our word this year. Lord, we're going to be here. We're going to do that. He prayed for you that when you are converted. If I hear somebody say, I'm already converted. I'm already there. I'm converted. Go and strengthen your brother. You can't strengthen your brother at home. You can't strengthen no nobody on your job when you're at home. You can't strengthen nobody when you're always tired. You can't strengthen nobody when you're going through and you just looking like the world, like you just can't make it. How are you going to strengthen somebody? You got to be converted first. God is trying to convert us. So whatever that we go through, whatever that we face, we are converted and we're going to go on. Ain't nothing going to separate you from the love of God. He said, when you are converted, strengthen, go back and strengthen your brother. God want us to start strengthening our brother. That's the only way that they're going to get out of this dark world is by you. That's the only way they're going to be able to stand in faith when somebody else tells them, well, you need to go and do this. You got to strengthen them with the word of God. You got to strengthen them. And the only way they can be strengthened, they got to see you standing. They see you sitting at home all the time, worried and not knowing what you're going to do. They don't want to hear nothing you got to say. And God don't want you speaking on his behalf either. Because he see where you're at. He wants you to be for real. He wants you to be totally converted. Changed over. Made over a new creature. Convert means to turn or change, having been adapted or modified or adjusted and suitable for a new purpose. You got to be suitable for this thing. You got to be changed over to stay in this race. You got to be ready all the time. So when you converted, you're going to be suitable. God is going to strengthen you so you can strengthen your brother. He's going to strengthen you so you can strengthen your sister. God is going to strengthen you so you can strengthen the church. There's some churches out there that need to be strengthened. They don't know what to do. They scared. They don't want to come to church. They closing the church. But then when they talked, when I have conversations with them, they are so strong. And in the power of his might, in our presence, you know, strength is in number. They are so strong amongst one another. But when they get out there, they weak, they feeble-minded, they act like they in the dark, and their word betrays them. And I'm in the midst, I'm thinking, well, you just said an hour ago. But now you out here telling me, no, don't touch me. You know, I mean, they jumping. You know, I ain't trying to talk about them. I'm just talking about, that's just one scenario. I'm just talking about a lot of things. You know, people are dying. They dying every day. Nobody want to, you know, go and try to. You said something this morning. I said, Lord, that's been me. I'm going to keep on trying until it manifests. And I'm going to keep on trying until it manifests. I ain't saying I'm this or that or the other, but one thing I do know, I'm trusting in God. We got to trust in God with your very life. Who is willing to put their life on the line? Not just put it on the line, but put it on the line for his sake. We're passing, I was talking this morning though. Yesterday or something, and I said something to somebody, she rehearsed it. I used to say, if you ain't found nothing to die for, you ain't fit to live. And that is written. That's scripture. Jesus said, if you save your life, the same shall lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, the same shall be saved. So if you laying your life down for Jesus, you ain't got to worry about it. You are in a secret place. You are strong enough to strengthen your brother and your sister. You can overcome. You will overcome because Jesus has already prayed for you. So when you converted, when you get it made up in your mind, when Peter got converted, what happened with Peter over in Acts? Peter stood up and how many souls got saved? He was strong. He didn't care about what nobody said no more. He didn't care when they said, listen here, your speech betrayed you. I don't know him at the time. Three times. Well, ain't you one of his disciples? No, man, I don't know what you're talking about. But when Jesus turned around and looked at him, the Bible said he wept bitterly. He was so pitiful. How could I do this to you, Lord? How could I deny you? But the Lord came back and strengthen him some more. Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Peter, you love me? Just how many times he denied him? Jesus asked him 3 times. Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. Go and feed my sheep. He sure enough fed the sheep. In the book of Acts, he stood up and got to preaching. He got so bold and got to preaching about the death of the Lord and the Holy Ghost. And it added to the church. How many souls got added to the church? Thousands? Hundreds? So many people that he strengthened. This is the strength that God is trying to give us. That same strength. We serve one God, one Spirit. And God is trying to strengthen us so we can have some folk in this church. Well, Brother Allen, ain't all about the church. Yes, it is. It ain't about the building. No, it's not about the building. But the Bible tells us that if anything that God has his hand in, it's supposed to grow. Something's supposed to be happening. He added to the church daily. Daily. We got too much stuff going on. I can't come right now. You know, well, I am tired. You know, I do work 5 days a week, and the Lord said we got to have one rest day. I'm going to have you notice I don't have a rest day. I keep a Sabbath. But according to the scripture, like Jesus said, you break the Sabbath, you break the Sabbath. You don't have a rest day because you're doing his work on the Sabbath day. He said, you error from the scripture. Don't you know they break the Sabbath just by doing the works of God in the temple? So we all tired. But you got to stop saying that you're tired. You got to stop saying that you're weak. You got to start saying that you're strong. You got to stop saying that you're sick. You got to start saying that you're well. You got to stop saying that you can't. You got to begin to rehearse and pronounce over yourself, I can do all things, and mean it and believe what you say. And only God knows. I ain't trying to judge nobody in here. I'm trying to do this thing the same way. That's why I'm bringing it to you. It's got to be in me first. It's got to be in you first. Ask God, we're going to ask God to help us. Lord, we convert us. Convert me. If I ain't converted, convert me, Lord. We'll know if we ain't converted. We got to do it. He said, when you are converted, go and strengthen your brother. And man, people need to be strengthened every single day. Every day. People, now they got it in the medical science now that they got assisted suicide. What kind of stuff is that? We're going to assist you to get yourself out of here. Assisted suicide. And we just letting just go on, you know, in a handbasket. Somebody got to stand up and say, this ain't right. I don't believe that. I'm not with that. We got to obey the law of the lands. You do, but to a degree. There's some of them laws that you're going to have to stand up against. There's some of them laws you're going to say, no, that is not, because it's all about love and it's all about righteousness. That ain't right. I don't care what the law say. The law got a whole lot of wrong laws out there, but they're laws. And we want to keep the law. You're not keeping the law. You're breaking the law. The law of liberty. When you keep this law of the land, all of it, that's not right, you're breaking the law of liberty. You're breaking this law. So Jesus said he has prayed for you. Know that when you get converted, you're going to find yourself doing the work of God. You're going to get so busy for God, your food, your clothes, none of that stuff ain't going to be on your mind. I get up on Sunday. I almost did again yesterday, y'all. I got up Saturday, had my church keys. I was coming to church. I almost did it. I'm telling you, I stopped at the corner. I just started laughing. I said, Jesus. You know, I can't preach like pastor, but I want to be in church. I want to see things change. I want what she got. I want it so bad to where my, as Job said, my necessary food. The word, the love of God is more than my necessary. It's necessary that we eat, but it don't be on my mind to eat. It be on my mind to search the scriptures. I get up, search the scriptures. I go to work, searching scriptures. I got to stop doing that searching scripture where I'm driving. I be searching the scriptures. I'm trying to find out what God want me to do. I'm trying to find out what God want me to say. I'm trying to find out where God want me to go. That's where I'm searching the scriptures. I want to be fully converted. Full, as the Bible say, full of the Holy Ghost. Full, not half full. I want to be full. When I get low, he going to fill you up. So know that when God has prayed for you, and when you are totally converted, you're going to find yourself acting beside yourself, not like you used to act. You're going to be beside yourself. Peter couldn't stand up and testify against, you know, all of those priests and all them folks said, because of you, y'all did this to Jesus. Y'all killed him. He couldn't do that back then while they was crucifying him. He didn't have no, he was saved too. He showed up was saved. But he didn't have what it take to stand up against evil. He didn't have the I don't care for his life. He cared for his life at the time. We care for our life right now in such a way. I'll put it like that. But I got to start caring for my life in such a way not to put the things in it that I'm not supposed to be putting in it. All them cookies and licorice, I found a new licorice that I said, Lord, help me. I ain't never got to have no more Twizzlers no more. Where is this licorice coming from? Man. But I have to care for my life that much when not put nothing in it that's going to harm my body. Then be calling pastor, be asking wife and Jackie, you know, what's good for the knees and, you know, and what's good for the elbows and the shoulders? What's good for your feet? You know, what's good for your ears? You know, you're asking us. Start telling us the truth, y'all. First, be like Jesus. Go call your husband. What you eating? That's what I do with my sister. What you eating? She used to always say, boy, you know, it was fixed, Freddie. But it came back. And you know how we say, well, the devil, he going to come back. You know, the devil don't come back sometime. We invite him in. I say, what you been eating? Well, you know, I ain't supposed to have that fried chicken. I ain't supposed to be eating no fried this. And I ain't supposed to be. I said, why are you eating it? I said, we'll pray. I hate to say I ain't praying for you. I said, we'll pray. I said, but you got to do what you're supposed to do. You have to. Ask God to help you. Cry. You know, all the stuff that you've been saying, but, you know, I be, Lord, help me. I don't want to die right now. I want to live. You know, I don't want this stuff taking me out of here. You know, to my Lord brought him home. Oh, you wrote home and said you was really gone with the way that you were living. You know, he'll come and get you. But know that when the Lord pray for you, he's going to strengthen. You already strengthened. Know that you're converted and things going to work out for you if you just believe. Don't let your faith fail you. Don't let nothing take your faith, not even yourself, because you can talk yourself out of your blessing. A lot of times it ain't the devil, it's us. Faith can move a mountain. Faith is more powerful than anything. Faith supersedes everything. And I'm not telling the truth. Ain't nobody said amen. Am I erring? If faith don't supersede everything, ain't nobody, just say amen. I mean, don't say it to please, Brother Al. If you don't think it's the truth, keep your mouth. But I believe faith supersedes everything. Faith. You can't have salvation without faith. We're saved by grace through faith. So without faith, you can't have salvation. So we all believe in that we're saved. We sure know. I know I'm saved. He can't tell me I ain't saved. I ain't trying to tell you you ain't saved. But I'm just trying to get you and encourage you so you can build up your most holy faith. You got to build up your most holy faith. When the doctors say no and everybody else is saying you need to do this, what do faith say? Faith got a word in this too. Faith can say something. What faith say? Faith say I'm healed. Faith say I'm well. If faith tell you to go to the doctor, like the faith told me, go to the doctor. I'm going to the doctor. But when the doctor say I can't do nothing for you, I'm back on faith. I'm back at square one. So stay on faith. Don't let your faith fail you. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him come. I don't care if he is trying to sift us as wheat. He's trying. He desired. He didn't say he did. He's desiring to come and get us. Just like he desired to come and get Job. He's desiring to take us out of here. And he's going to do it by any means necessary. God bless you this morning. Know that God, when Jesus prayed for you, converted. And go and strengthen your brother. Go. Go. It's all right to text. I said, I'm finna stop texting. My brother came over and we was texting. They got me on this texting. And he came out. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, man, I don't fool around with the text. I want to hear your voice. I said, hey, man. I said, I was just thinking. He said, I want to hear how you feeling. You know, you can say anything on that text, but I want to hear. If you ain't feeling good, then I have the opportunity to say, you all right? Huh? Do we need to pray? You know, do we need to do something? Do I need to come over there? You know, so we got to start going. You know, we got to go. You know, I got to go. I got to go. Jesus said, we got to go to the other side. We got to go. People need us. Yes, and we can't be so holy, so righteous to sit here, come and do the same, going around that same old mountain. We did this last year. What are we going to do new this year? I got some stuff planned. I'm going to bring it to you. We're going to, and please, this is what the Lord tell me, and this is our pastor. Please, let me do it. Please. With so many great minds in here, it's amazing that we ain't doing something. Great minds. I mean, God equipped us with people like y'all, with the minds that y'all have. Man, we should be so tired for being so busy for God. Unbelievable. We should be. So ask God to give you some great ideas. Got some good ideas y'all been implementing. Great, great ideas. Let's do it for Jesus. Let's do it for the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.